Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John Piper, Dr. John Piper said, God created me and you to live with a single, all-embracing, all-transforming passion, namely a passion to glorify God by enjoying and displaying His supreme excellence in all of the spheres of life. I will say that that is well put. Holy Father God, this morning, in spite of ourselves, but because of your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit and by the power of your Holy Word to fulfill our divine purpose, and that is to glorify your holy name in every sphere of life, even today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're continuing to read little by little the passage that I read in our family devotions for 30 years. That is the foundation for our family surviving, and not only surviving but thriving in the work of the Lord together. And that is Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 19 today, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That is not only Paul's job, that is not only the preacher's job. We thank God for Paul. God used Paul. We would be in a mess without Paul in this world today. But it is all disciples' job to be a witness for the Lord and to be bold in sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the problem with the world today is the fact that many Christians do not share the gospel in no way, shape, form, or fashion. And it is one of the greatest crimes in the history of the world. Because I assure you, somebody shared the gospel with them. Allow me to read that verse in your hearing once more. I assure you that somebody shared the gospel with them. From Jesus through the disciples, and then Paul, born out of due time, through Michael Lewis, a young black man with a big Bible, on Keesler Air Force Base when I was going to hell fast and did not know it, with my jam boogie boogie party running women lifestyle, going to hell fast and in a hurry and did not even know it. Raised up in church, dad a preacher, mother a preacher at that point in time, running wild, buck wild. But a young man who had heard the gospel from someone else in that long line of gospel tellers came by my dorm room on December the 19th, 1979, as God was drawing me. For he had invited me to church. I went to church that Sunday morning, heard the gospel for the first time, but did not get saved. It took a soul winner to come by my dorm room with his big Bible. He was nervous, he was scared, he was shook up. I had a six-pack of Schlitz malt liquor Bull in the little refrigerator in the dorm. I had a roommate, a Hispanic roommate. We had divided our room up. He couldn't see what was going on. The young man showed me, as I remember very clearly, a rust-colored blanket on my bed. I was sitting on the bed. He was sitting in a chair. And he showed me from the Bible for the first time in my life what is commonly called the Romans Road to Salvation. Michael Lewis led me to Jesus with nervous fingers pointing to the Word of God. And I have not been the same since. And a person who cursed and swore that he would never be a preacher like his father has been preaching ever since, nearly 40 years, preaching the gospel all around the world, and now in every country of the world, in 100 languages, and I don't even know where that soul winner is. I don't know if he's dead or alive, but he passed on the gospel to me, and every soul that gets saved through my ministry goes to his credit as well. We need some old-fashioned soul winners again. Some old saints and some middle-aged saints and some young saints who are fired up and ready to go. And who are not afraid, who are not ashamed to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need some soul winners like my little baby daughter, Danielle Elizabeth Breedlove White, who's not afraid to witness to anybody, and every place she goes, she takes a stack of gospel tracts ready to pass out. Reminds everyone else to pass out gospel tracts. She's a soul winner from her heart. And so we need more of those in the church. And pastors and shepherds need to stop stealing members from other folks' churches. You ought to stand at the door and reject. Where are you coming from? Ask them, where are you coming from? I'm coming from Pastor So-and-so church. I'm upset. Go back and make things right. And we need new blood up in here. We don't need you coming in here causing a problem. Go on back over there to Pastor So-and-so. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody shows up and says, I'm seeking Jesus, I'm lost and on my way to hell, all right, you come on in. Amen, somebody. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Dr. Thomas Constable writes in his expository notes on the Bible, the word for boldness is made up of two words, meaning all and speech. It signifies the attitude when one is completely at home and the words flow freely. Thus, it may mean outspokenness or frankness. When a person is speaking in this way, he or she is not in the least afraid, and thus the expression comes to signify boldly. Note that Paul did not ask them to pray for his comfort or safety, but for the effectiveness of his witness for Jesus and his ministry of preaching the gospel. Amen, somebody. He was not praying for a Bentley. He was not asking them to pray for him to get a Bentley or to get a jet, for that matter, or to get a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill or some other comfort. The mystery of the gospel, that is, God's provision of salvation through Jesus Christ, my God, thank you, needed defending in Rome, because the Romans viewed Christianity as simply another sect within Judaism. Holy Father God, give us that boldness that Paul was asking saints to pray for him to have. to be the shining lights and witnesses that you want us to be. And we do know in this day and time that souls are being saved through passing out gospel literature as well. We know of two preachers who've led hundreds to you who got saved by reading a gospel tract. Your word is powerful in every form, and Lord, this is the least we can do. And we pray that millions would hear the gospel and be saved through the preaching of your holy word, as we do that every day as well. And we pray that we all will remember that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional passage today is titled, or rather, our devotional Bible passage reading today is Psalm 80, 11 through 15. I'm not drinking coffee, but I am drinking green tea. Got to have it. She sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doeth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doeth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for the beauty of your holy word. Have it to color our hearts, our minds, our lives, our souls, and our spirits, and to help us to meditate on it, help us to love it and to cherish it, and most importantly, help us to obey it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying for governmental officials and other states and other people. We do this based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for President Donald Trump and his administration. We pray for each member of the White House staff, leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, all mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would save those who are lost. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection and provision, blessings. We pray that you'll give these leaders wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, even though they may not see the world the way we see it as Christians. Lord, we pray that you would open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and save their souls. Help them to not continue to be blinded by their riches, their money, their power, but to humble themselves before you and to realize that without you, they are nothing, we are nothing, and we can do nothing but destroy ourselves. And Holy Father God, we pray for all church leadership. We pray the same blessing, salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, provision, blessings upon those who are saved and called to serve through your church. We pray these blessings upon all pastors, church leaders, denominational leaders, Bible teachers, missionaries, and ministry workers. And we pray that you'd give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in leading their flocks, and that which is not their flock, your flock. And we pray that you would save those who are religious but lost, who just got caught up in the religion and never have been born again. Revive those who are saved. We need desperately, as you know, Lord, revival. We also pray for current events that are happening around the world. We pray for the comfort of the families and church family of the 26 people killed in the mass shooting at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. And we're looking at possibly being with them this Sunday. Let your will be done there. And we pray for these dear folks that you would comfort them as only you can. And we pray for the comfort, protection, provision, and salvation for people of Vietnam, where over 40 have died from a devastating typhoon. We also pray for those killed in Chicago. The number, sadly, is approaching 600 dead in that city. It is like a war zone. We also pray for the media, and we pray that they would understand their responsibility and their influence upon our country and upon our society. We pray that you would. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, and financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon them as well. Give them, Lord, your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight beyond themselves as well. And now, Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the prayer requests that have been sent into us, totaling into the hundreds. And so therefore we only pray for a few for time concerns this morning. We pray for Tiffany. Please guide and protect her son from all harm and make him a better person. Give her husband strength to face challenges at work. Touch the hearts of Janice and Susan to treat everyone fairly and not terminate him. Have Tiffany to be offered a better position at work, if that is your will. We also pray for Brother Bushibi. Please bless the National Women and Youth Conferences and eradicate drought and famine from Africa and all other parts of the world. Have the sorcerer in their town to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And Lord, we pray for Denzel, for his father's recovery from a stroke and minor memory loss. Restore his health and give him a long and peaceful life. Let your will be done. Now, Lord, we pray for those who have gotten saved through this ministry, became born-again Christians through the preaching of the gospel. We rejoice over them, and we pray for them to grow in the faith and be the strong Christians you want them to be. We pray for Brianna, we pray for Silvano, and we pray for Rhett Naraj. And help us to be the disciplers of the disciples that you want us to be. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus, just from the preaching of the gospel as well, for we don't give an invitation for rededication. Maybe we should, but we don't. We pray for Aletta, Rachel, and we pray for Jaya. Help these to stand strong in the faith and to never backslide again. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, committing these souls into your hands as well as our souls. Let your will be done in all of our lives. For it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled The Reason for Everything, Part 6, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. You say, preacher, why do you use Rick Warren's book? It's a pretty modern book as a devotional book with all of these classic devotional books. And by the way, technician, I have not seen Spurgeon in a while. The reason why is because I believe that the purpose-driven book, I'm sure, was written for others, but I believe it is mainly for young people. I feel sorry for an old Christian saint who did not understand those principles and didn't know them, meaning that somehow they missed God telling them those things. These are basic, simple Bible principles that he wrote in a very powerful and beautiful way. But I believe young people need to hear this from the time they enter high school, at least, all the way through high school. At least once a year they ought to read it, because it will help them with the big questions of life that young people deal with. And the millennials need it most of all. Rick Warren goes on to say, we bring God glory by becoming like Christ. Once we are born into God's family, he wants us to grow to spiritual maturity. What does spiritual maturity look like? Spiritual maturity is becoming like Jesus in the way we think, in the way we feel and act. The more you develop Christ-like character, the more you will bring glory to God. The Bible says, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. God gave you a new life and a new nature when you accepted Christ as Savior. Now, for the rest of your life on earth, God wants to continue the process of changing your character. By the way, is he doing that? Have you noticed that maybe little by little your character is changing through the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of God's Holy Spirit in your life, through the power of God's Word? If you have been saved for 10 years, can you look back and notice how much God has changed you? The Bible says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your loving us so much that you give us the grace and the privilege to reflect your glory back to you and to give you glory through our lives, through the Lord Jesus, through the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit and by the power of your Holy Word. Lord, help us to do that today as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, in closing of this devotional time together, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, Jesus Christ has a word for you this morning as well. For he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He was talking about himself. His name is Jesus. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, "That if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so, beloved, if you would simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the gospel, that Jesus Christ, the gospel is the good news that he died on the cross for your sins, understanding that you are a sinner and that you have sinned against God repeatedly and therefore you have offended God. And Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. That is the good news, that is the gospel that God has provided for you. And the question this morning is, will you receive it? Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're willing to do that, I'll be glad to lead you in what is commonly called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Michael Lewis, who led me to the Lord nearly 40 years ago, led me in the sinner's prayer on that night, December 19th, 1979. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner because I have sinned against you by breaking some of your Ten Commandments, such as lust, such as stealing, and such as lying. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, my beloved, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome, dear friend, to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.